Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Today we're joined by Brian Hutchinson, who's the athletic director here at Morehead State. Brian, always good to have you on the program.
Thanks, Chuck, for having me.
Well, we've heard from the president. We've heard from the governor. Now we're going to hear from the third most important person on the list, Brian Hutchinson, about the state of MSU athletics. How do you feel things are going right now?
You know, you can never win enough ball games, and sometimes you're just measured by that. But I think in terms of the performance of our athletes in the classroom and on the field or court, the kinds of things that our staff's been able to pull together and do to benefit them, and what we're able to do to provide some support to our coaches in order to help create the environment we need to create to have the kind of success we'd like to have, I'm pretty pleased.
You know, and I know all your head coaches, and I think they're pretty special people. I mean, things being what they are financially here on campus and all over the state regarding post-secondary education, I mean, it's a tougher environment to work in now, but these men and women seem to just kind of grind it out and just keep on keeping on.
Had a really recent conversation with all of them, and we talked about some of those kinds of things, at least in that vein. We talked about, you know, that we represent the institution. It's a way that the institution has always chosen to have represented through intercollegiate athletics. We do it at the highest level, at the Division I level, and there are real challenges that come with that for schools our size or programs with budgets our size. But the bottom line for me is that we've got to continue to foster an environment that we can have success for our students. And so whatever struggles we might have with whether it be the budget in the Commonwealth or how we're able to allocate our money in the department, it can't impact their experiences, the experiences of those students. And so you know, what can we do to be creative? How can we work harder? What's it going to take for us to do those kinds of things that make it really, really important for our staff to sort of shield the student experience in that manner? And so we had a bit of a conversation about that. It wasn't as much of a two-way conversation yet, but it was sort of my charge to them to be thinking hard and creatively about new solutions.
The one thing that's always impressed me, and I think it's something also that many people don't realize, is how many hours your coaches put in, whether it's the head coaches or the assistants. I mean, they're always doing something, it seems like. It's almost a 24/7 job.
It is, Chuck. It never ceases to amaze me, the conversations I have with people that think we're off in the summers and that we are 9-to-5 kinds of jobs. I mean, we are trying to fit around our work around class schedules of any number of students. Imagine being a football coach and having 100 or so students on your roster of every different major, and you're trying to manage your practices, your weight training, the training room time, the time you spend in film, the time you spend traveling to games, around all those class schedules. Now, fortunately, we have a field that we're able to utilize for our practices, but it's a real challenge. And so not only is it a challenge for the coaches, it's a challenge for trainers because they may have to be in at 5:30 in the morning in order to be ready for a 6 a.m. workout, and then practice may not end that night until 6 or 7 o'clock, and then you have post-treatments. And so it's really incredible the dedication they have to their craft. You know, we are all in service to a group of students that we're really proud to be associated with. But it definitely is something that you've got to love. It's not something that just anybody is willing to do in terms of the sacrifice of time and energy and all that kind of thing. It's a special group of people. We've tried to hire people that really fit that culture, that realize when they're here, it's about working as hard as they can to serve this special group of people. That the rewards are not necessarily financial. That will come with great work and demonstrating some success in those areas. And so really, really happy to be associated with that group of people.
And it's not just about training young men and women to be better athletes. They have to be student athletes as well. So they also have to make sure that they're doing well in the classroom, which, you know, from what I can tell, that's happening.
There's no question about that. I asked our academic staff just in the last couple of weeks to take a review of our fall grades and let me know where we stood in terms of our performance. And so our student athletes have over a 3.1 GPA in the fall. Their cumulative GPA is about a 3.25, so that's over the course of that entire subset of students. And that's really impressive work whenever you consider the broad range of majors they're in, when you consider the time commitment they have that's outside of academics because of what they have to do as it relates to athletics and even the things they have to do on their own time as it relates to taking care of their bodies and doing all of that kind of thing. So there's no doubt that they have it in the proper perspective. We have a great service in our Eagle Center that helps keep them on track. It's so important for our overall success in developing these people, young people, as they come to college and then leave, hopefully in 4 years with their degree. But there's a lot of things we've got to do there, and Drew Barnett and his staff do a really nice job of leading that effort.
The Eagle Center has been open about 6-7 years, and I know that there was obviously tutoring and academic help before that. Right. But this center seems to have been a real plus in making sure that these athletes get what they need as they try to succeed also in the classroom.
It was a real change for us whenever we were able to take over the space that the old Rec and Wellness Center occupied. You know, it sat right in the middle of the athletics physical plant, but wasn't an athletics facility other than the indoor tennis center. We used that for some tennis matches at that time. And so when we opened up the new Rec and Wellness Center, the opportunity to take that space over and develop it really into a facility that we thought we needed for our student athletes. You know, the NCAA mandates that you provide that kind of academic support for your students. And so the facility was really a first step with that. We've been able to build and develop a staff mostly through grant work that we've been able to get through the NCAA. Over time, we've absorbed some of that into our operating budget, but a very large part of that was made possible through the NCAA grants. And so, it's a full service operation over there. Now, we're not, we don't hire tutors for every discipline. We certainly aren't advising in every aspect of academic support. That's not our role. Our role is to work very closely with academic advisors. We understand the athletics piece and the progress toward degree requirements that our student athletes have. And so that has to all work together. We have to have them in the right classes, in the right sequence in order to make it all happen. And so that's part of what Drew is tasked with, Drew and his staff. The other thing they're tasked with is just making sure we know what's going on in their lives. There are lots of things outside the classroom or the field or court that impact their ability to have success. And sometimes they need a little bit of extra help to get through those things. And so we have to listen first and foremost. We have to know about those things. And we're not being intrusive in that manner, but we certainly want to be able to provide support where we can in order to prop up that whole being concept.
When you talk about athletics in the grand scheme of a regional university here in Kentucky or anywhere else, I suppose, and you know, you have people who debate the issue and how important are, say, Division I athletics here at Morehead State University. You hear it all the time, I know, too, as well as I do. You know how I feel about it. But maybe if you would explain why you think it's important to be a Division I athletic institution.
Well, it's the highest level of athletics that we recognize in the United States on the amateur level. And so to be associated with that group of schools is really important. It's important for us for a number of reasons. One of them clearly is financial. We are not, any other division would not be subject to any kind of distribution as it relates to the basketball championships, as it relates to some academic support. We talked about the grant that we've been able to receive for the Eagle Center. That was almost $900,000 over the course of that grant. That's not available to schools that aren't part of Division I. We're recognized by our peers. It creates a connotation about the institution to a group of people that may not know about Morehead State in any other way. I would tell you, when I look at, for instance, our athletics Twitter account, this is maybe a little bit of a digression, but it's an illustration. We have over 36,000 followers that follow MSU Eagles on Twitter. Compare that to the university's Twitter account, the Morehead State Twitter account, which is about 15,000 or 16,000. And so the reach is considerably broader than what maybe we could get just by our traditional ways we do things as an institution. And so we've got to help tell that story about Morehead State University in as many positive ways as we can. Our student athletes are the focal point of that. If we're competing at that high level, whether it be on national television, which wouldn't be available if we weren't Division I, on an OVC digital network, those kinds of things don't exist in other platforms at different levels. We've got to continue to do great work there because of what it does to tell the story about Morehead State. And so as often and in as many ways as we can, our ability to assist the institution in telling its great story about the tremendous academic programs and tradition of excellence we have here at Morehead State is critically important.
I've always considered athletics a door opener, and I'll say that from my own personal experience when I was looking at colleges and universities to go to when I was in high school. Obviously, I played sports in high school and was interested in sports all the way around. And as I was looking for schools, the Bears, and I'm from the Chicago area, drafted a guy by the name of Lionel Antoine from Southern Illinois University. And outside of Jim Hart, who was a quarterback for the St. Louis football Cardinals, now they're the Arizona Cardinals now at this point, I didn't know much about SIU, but I started thinking about it. And I said, as I was looking around to apply to schools, I said, you know, what about that school? I mean, and my dad said, we'd like you to stay in state. It's a little less expensive. It'll help us more. So I started looking at in-state schools. So I sent down just a handwritten letter and asked for some information. But I wouldn't have done that had I not thought about SIU, and it was caused by my interest in athletics. And I didn't become a college student athlete. But at the same time, it opened the door for me to find out more about a school I ended up going to and getting the education that's led me to a lifetime of work. And so, I mean, I think athletics provides publicity for a university that almost can't be measured in some ways.
Well, there's no question about that, as evidenced by the example that you use. And I think that there are countless examples of that across the country about people who learn about Morehead State or about any other institution through athletics. There's a platform for us. There are cable television networks. There are streaming services. There are entire radio networks. There literally are millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars being spent across the country just to talk about college athletics. You're really talking about Division I when you talk about that. So everyone should be aware that whether you agree with that or not, that's just kind of how it is. And so if we position ourselves appropriately, then we can certainly be a part of that conversation. We should be part of that conversation. Of course, we should do it well if we're going to do it. Otherwise, why would you do it? All those things are really important to me as we continue to talk with people and just educate them about how important athletics is to the university. It is not an ancillary activity. It is not a co-curricular thing that the university does. It is critically important to the vitality of a university, particularly a state regional university. There are almost no examples of other state regional institutions our size that don't compete at this level. There are a few just in certain pockets, but it's very, very limited. And so we should be doing these kinds of things for the institution. We need to do it well. We need to be competitive while we do it.
And I'll say this. The University of Kentucky is a fine institution educationally, but at the same time, many people would not know about UK if it weren't for its nationally known basketball program. And I'll say this about successful athletics, and I think you agree too, Brian, is the one thing about it, successful athletics draws interest among your community, your region, also from potential students, which means recruiting students in general like we talked about earlier, but at the same time, alumni interest. If you have successful athletics, alumni are more interested in the school, thus they give more money back to that school.
I think there will be, by the time we finish this year, nearly 100,000 people, or maybe even over that number, that will have been on our campus because of athletics events that we hosted on our campus. And I'm talking about the Morehead State events. I'm not talking about camps. I'm not talking about regional basketball tournaments. I'm not talking about any of that. It's just literally through Morehead State events. And so I don't know of any other activity the university can undertake that would bring that many people through our doors on our campus. So again, it's really important that we do a great job of helping the university tell its story.
Mm-hmm. Again, our guest today on Front Page is Brian Hutchinson, the athletic director here at Morehead State University. I'm Chuck Morales, your host. We'll step away for a moment, come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Morales. Again, we're talking with Brian Hutchinson, the athletic director here at Morehead State. And Brian, many people have read about the cuts that higher education is scheduled to take at this point. And, of course, the legislature is still working on its budget, and that number may be massaged a bit. But right now it looks like 6.25% is what's going to happen across campus. And just kind of curious, have you thought about how that might impact the athletic department here at MSU?
Sure. I mean, we think about that kind of stuff all the time. We, you know, we're not operating with any kind of surplus by any stretch. Most of our money is tied up in what I consider fixed costs. So there are scholarship expenses, there are some staffing expenses, and then when you have to do the kinds of things we've got to do on behalf of our students, some of those are fixed costs. You have to compete in a certain number of games. We're in a couple of conferences, and so the conference dictates how many games we play and against whom we play when we start our conference seasons, and so there are expenses associated with that. You can't drive to Southeast Missouri State and then come home on the same night to stay in your bed that night and then get up the next day and go to UT Martin to play. This doesn't work that way. And so there are expenses associated with buses and hotels and feeding students and staff and all those kinds of things. And so in a way, those things are fixed. We have, you know, service contracts on scoreboards and sound systems and all those kinds of things that we have to have in order to run the events. And so it is concerning whenever you think about how much of our budget truly is tied up in things that we really I don't want to say that we can't control, but certainly allow us to do our work. And until the expectation changes about the interest in having success and doing the kinds of things we should do, I've said this many, many times already today, to have the success we should have to represent the university, then it's a bit of a challenge, no question.
I'm guessing that you have to shave off some corners here and there on things.
Well, we've done that over the last few years, Chuck. You know, we unfortunately had to eliminate our men's and women's tennis programs a couple of years ago, and we've added back some women's programs in the interest of gender equity and the ability to field competitive programs at the Division I level, but certainly not at the same level that we were investing in tennis. We've also had to trim our budget in a number of ways. Our spending has decreased by several hundred thousand dollars over the last 4 years already. And so all the easy things that none of it's ever easy, but all of the quote unquote easy things that we can do to make ends meet, we've done. And so as we stare this next round of cuts in the eye, we've got some real challenges ahead of us, and we've, you know, it's tough to think that you can increase revenue much more than what we're doing at where we are, given the market we're in, at least from a corporate perspective. There are only so many tickets we're going to sell. On top of that, you only have an opportunity to play so many guaranteed games. I mean, you've got to be fair to the process and to the young people that are part of your group. And so all of those things make it increasingly difficult to sort of maintain where we are.
Does that push you harder to try to find ways to find private donors that are willing to help the athletic department, and how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, there's no question that in order for us to at least sustain the level we're at, we've got to have anybody who cares about Morehead State Athletics being part of that. It doesn't mean that we're looking for $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 gifts. What it means is we need everybody's involvement. We need 1,000, 1,200 donors a year that are giving us $25,000 to $5,000 a piece, depending on your interest and ability level, in order to make this thing happen. We've got to have people that think it's important, that the work we're doing is important, that supporting these students and their goals is important, that what we do on behalf of the university is important. How we do that? We ask. We have to ask. And so there's lots of ways to do that. You can, crowdsourcing is kind of the cool word now, but you can crowdsource projects, or crowdfund projects. You can send direct mail pieces. You make direct asks by calling or visiting with people. You find projects that you need to do that maybe resonate with a group of donors. We've had some success this year. We've developed a project at Eagle Trace Golf Course. It will be called the Rex Cheney Golf Practice Pavilion. But we had a group of people that really care deeply about Coach Cheney and care deeply about men's and women's golf at Morehead State, and recognize that there's a facility that we need at the golf course and able to continue to practice, particularly through inclement weather in the winter. And so we conceptualized it, we designed it, and we went out and found some donors to help us do it, and we were able to get there. And so that project is in that bid process now. We expect to have that done before the summer starts. So I think we can find projects like that that make sense to a group of people, and we've got to continue to be creative with that. Our coaches have to be really engaged with that too. They all bring a set of people that maybe aren't accessible to the university at large, but they are accessible through that coach, and so we've got to do that. Certainly, the young people that are part of the program have a support network too back home. I call it the Christmas card list, but there are people that just know that student and care about that student and want to see them succeed. And so we've got to engage all those people.
Are you putting a plan in place perhaps to maybe mount a fundraising campaign of some kind?
Yeah, we are, Chuck. We've talked very extensively with our development office about just the need to be really aggressive in asking our donor base. We've seen the power it has whenever you engage that number of people. And the kinds of success you can have there. It's not all through corporate sponsor sales. Brad Smith does a tremendous job for us in leading that effort, but it takes a lot of people, and Brad can't do it all himself. I certainly can't do it all myself. We've got lots of job functions, and that's our whole staff as it relates to external affairs. I mean, Brad's tasked with that every day, but he doesn't have anyone that works for him that does that. I certainly have my plate as full as can be with just doing athletic director daily kinds of things. Certainly fundraising is one part of that. And so I need to provide strategic direction to Brad and whatever effort we have. And so working with the development office is critical in order to help us do that. We've got to raise money for operating needs. We've got to raise money for facility projects that we can tackle and be able to have some success with. And so we're hopeful as time passes over the next weeks and months that we have the right program in place, at least on the annual giving side, to sustain some of our goals.
I keep thinking about literally thousands of former athletes that played at Morehead State one sport or another. Maybe they were cheerleaders. Maybe they were just, you know, students who enjoyed going to ball games, or just fans, you know, who are still here or, you know, living someplace else. But all these people out there could potentially help you.
Yeah, I mean, when you ask who to ask, the answer is yes. You ask them all. You ask everybody. And so there's no doubt about that. We try to stay pretty well engaged with our former students. Some of it happens at the program level, and Coach McGuire does a great job on the baseball side of things, just engaging that group of people. It's only as good as the information we have, and so if people hear my voice today, we need your contact information in order to let you know what's going on with us. But we're pretty powerful as it relates to Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and just MSUEagles.com, which is the mothership, so to speak. We really try to push information through those places. You can give through those. You can certainly learn about what we've got going on through any of those kinds of things. My pledge to our group is that we will continue to be creative to try to find ways to be supportive of the athletics program.
I keep thinking about the bottom line messages. Now is the time to step forward and help.
Yes, it is. I mean, if there ever was a time that it was critical, I guess this probably would rank right there as being vital to our ability to do the things we've got to do. We don't know what the future holds for us as it relates to a budget cut or how we position ourselves within the OVC to have the success we should have. But we know that our peers, the conference members that we're competing with and those outside the conference that we compete with nationally, they're not resting. They're not standing back watching. They're trying to find ways to win. And they're trying to find ways to again, represent the university in a way that justifies the investment. And so we've got to do that too. And while it's, if you're scared of that, you don't need to be in college athletics, but it's a challenging time and our creativity will be tested, no question.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Again, how can someone get involved with donating to athletics if they're interested?
Easiest way is to contact somebody through phone call or email. You can also go to MSUEagles.com. There are giving links there. You can give to any program we sponsor, just athletics in general. That would be the place I would tell you to start.
All right, Brian, thanks as always. Appreciate your time on Front Page.
Thanks, Chuck.
Again, that's Morehead State University Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson. I'm Chuck Morales, your host of Front Page, and we'll see you next time.